Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to turn your attention to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Book of Luke, chapter number 2. Praise God. When you're there, say praise the Lord. Chapter 2, verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Praise God. Amen, amen. And that's all I want to read there this morning. I don't have a title this morning, so knock yourself out. Give it whatever you would like to. Praise God. But I just want the Lord to help us here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to do just that here today. Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate you. We're so in love with you. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for this time, for this season. We thank you for our church. We thank you, God, for our friends and family that's here today. I pray, God, that you would be with us this morning, that you would anoint your word and your spirit, that you would help us today. God, talk to us and deal with us, O Lord Jesus. And we'll be so quick to give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus was born amid a world movement of international dimensions, was born into a world that was beginning to experience a great chaos. The reason that he came was because that everything had become so mundane. All of the signs and all of the shadows were needing the fulfillment. The temple and all of the sacrifices that were being held were becoming just systematic. We see this when Jesus went into the temple and that he braided a whip and drove them out, saying that his house would be called a house of prayer and that they had made it into a den of thieves. And so what was originally ordained to be in the Old Testament upon that day that they would offer sacrifice had become so common amongst them, it just become a ritual to them. And now we find that he is born into this world, into a world of people of Christian or of religious sect that was mundane and just common among men. But it wasn't just that. There was the other side of the world that was also extremely chaotic. And this ruler by the name of Caesar Augusta, who had begun to rule in 27 BC, so 27 years before the birth of Christ, Caesar Augustus had begun to rule and had begun to tighten down the vices upon people, upon the world, and upon religious customs as well. And we would see this born all the way up until the day of Calvary. Amen. But in this, we see that it is at this particular time, the Bible said that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from the ruler that all of the world should be taxed. Should be taxed. Praise God. That tax was to be placed upon every person. And it meant that every individual was to go to the city where he was born to be registered. Caesar Augustus was the first of all of the Roman emperors in the land. and he is flexing his muscles, putting forth his strength upon the people, telling them now that this tax that they that is imposed upon them, that they are to go unto their city of birth and that they are to register there. This tax can be, and we're not going to compare it completely to, but it can be compared with what is going on in the world that we are in today. Do with vaccination records and all of the other things. This was just part of it. This was the government imposing upon the people. And in all reality, the Jews had a problem with this. They had a problem with this. And they did not want their world imposed into by the government. And in studying, I saw that this tax was more along the lines of a census, but instead of the census coming to you and knocking on your door, calling your phone and asking you how many people live in your household, and of that such, this was a commandment, this was a mandate that you were to return to the city that you was born in, especially if you had land in that area, and you were to register yourself again. And this was taking place about every 10 years. And for some reason or another, it should have taken place before this. But most theologians agree that the Jews had put forth such a stink about it that the tax had been pushed forward until this time. But it was in the year that Jesus was born that Caesar Augustus stepped up and said, look, whether you like it or you don't like it, amen, we're imposing this tax upon you, and you are to return to your cities. And so 100 miles away, Joseph and Mary began to walk towards Bethlehem, the city of David, from Nazareth. And this journey is going to put Mary in Bethlehem in time for the birth of her child, which Micah had prophesied some 600 to 700 years before all of this, that the Savior would be born in that little town of Bethlehem. And so with the disdain that the Jews had for the foreign interference, they began to make their ways rather than to experience the wrath of the ruler, and began to get to their place so that they could register. Luke includes in here, and he says in verse number 2, this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And this really, when you look into it, it's not that Cyrenius is putting forth his taxation at that time, but it was before all of this, and that he would tax the people thereafter. Amen. And it was due to this. All of these things, with the taxing of Caesar Augustus and the taxing of Cyrenius, and all of this weight and the burden and the inconveniences that was placed upon not just the Jews but the entire world, that we can begin to read in Acts chapter number 5 and verse 37. Amen. Some 30 to 40 years later, we would read that in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him. Amen. And this is Cyrenius, in that he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And so there was a great overthrowing, there was a great leaving, there was a great disturbance because of this taxation. Amen. We could get down into the United States of America and the colonies that happened, and it was the taxation that was put upon the colonies, the taxation that was put upon the products that caused the people to rebel against the king and the government. It was the taxation that was put upon their tea that caused them to throw the tea over into the harbor. It was the taxation that was placed upon all of this that caused them to break away. This was not the first time that people people began to break away. Why? Because the tax represents an undue burden. It represents a weight. It equates to a weight that is put upon an individual. Sometimes that this is voted in. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the government. It's parliament that imposes the tax. Sometimes it's just the president that would impose a tax upon people, and you and I feel the weight of that tax upon us. Amen. As we get into the stores, and Uncle Sam wants his part, and then the counties and cities and stuff, they want their part, and all of these things begin to add up, and you look at your telephone bill and you see, you know, what my bill would be, and it would relatively not be too bad, but it's all of the taxes that are placed upon it that causes us, amen, to shake our heads and to wish that there was a way that we could get out from under that tax. Amen. You go to stay in a motel and they tell you that it's $99 a night. And the next morning when you see that bill, you think to yourself, I thought it was $99, but there's this tax and there's that tax, and there's another tax that's placed upon it, and before long the bill is astronomical, and you thought that you were really getting a good deal, but it's the weight of that tax that you cannot get out from under. You just seems to be that you cannot get away from these particular taxes, these particular burdens, these extremes, the weights that are placed upon us, whether we like it or we don't like it, just seems like, amen, you got to pay up. And then all of a sudden, here comes the first of the year, and the IRS wants more taxes, and amen, and they want you to pay more, and maybe you have withheld some, but even if you withheld it, when you get your paycheck, and you think to yourself, I'm making $15 an hour, I ought to have this much. What happened to my paycheck? Amen. It's because Uncle Sam took his part out of it, and you've got FICA, and you've got Medicare, and you've got all of these other taxes that are out there, and Social Security tax, and all these taxes that they say, amen, well, this is going to help you in the future, but then the politicians turn around and say, well, we don't know if Social Security is even going to be around when you make it to the future, and so you think to yourself, well, what use is this if it's not going to be there to help me, and you're driving down the road, and you got all the potholes that are in there, and you think to yourself, I thought my taxes were supposed to take care of the roads, and I thought my taxes were supposed to take care of some of these things. What are they doing with my taxes, with my money? And you just don't know where it's really going. And this was the season and the time that the Lord Jesus Christ decided to enter into the world. I do not believe that Caesar Augustus, amen, imposed a tax upon the people because that he knew that the Christ, the Messiah, was, amen, getting ready to be born. He didn't know any such thing. Amen. He just did it. He imposed the burden. And it was right in the middle of this mess, right in the middle, amen, of the time when people's feelings and stuff would get stirred up with having to go back and to pay the tax and to register, and it would continue to grow to the point that in Acts 5 they would all just disperse, they would overthrow, they would run out, they would do these things because of the tax. Amen. It was at this point in time that Jesus decided, God manifest in the flesh, decided to come and to dwell among men. Praise God. Amen. I want you to know that tax is not anything new, amen, to us. Even here today, we understand what taxes are. And our forefathers knew what taxes were. Amen. And all the way back in Jesus' time, they knew what taxes were. As a matter of fact, you can go into the Bible and you will find that taxes were referenced 7 times in your Bible, and none of it was good. It was an undue weight that was put upon people, praise God. Amen. And I am reminded, amen, that there is something else that resembles and can even reflect what taxes are in our life. And it's called that three-letter word called sin. Amen. Sin is really not any different than taxes. As a matter of fact, some of you feel like, amen, you're smiling, thinking to yourself, I got a new revelation. Amen. Taxation is sinful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But sin is also a weight. It is a burden. It is a restriction that is placed upon humanity. And sin is in this world. Amen. And it is always going to be in this world. You're not going to get away from it. Just like you're not going to get away from Uncle Sam. Amen. You may get away from taxation and taxes for a period of time. Amen. But if the IRS catches up with you, it's not going to be pretty. Amen, amen, amen. I was pastoring a lady one time, and her and her husband split. She came to me and she said, you know, she said, we haven't filed taxes in over 10 years. I said, you do know that that's a felony. Amen. Everybody wants to live free and wants to live in this world, but there's some rules that go with freedom. I said, you do know that that's a felony. You could be a felon. And she said, I just don't know what to do. She said, I've got my income. He had his income. I said, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. I said, you get on the phone and you call the IRS. And I said, and you talk to a lady. You talk to a lady because she's going to feel sorry for you for what your husband did to you. You talk to a lady. Amen. And you go, you call her, you call somebody ASAP, and you get it all sorted out, and she's going to offer you some type of payment that you can get by with and make it happen, and who cares what happens to him. Amen. He left her high and dry. They lived in a fifth-wheel trailer. He hooked the truck up to the fifth-wheel trailer while she was out shopping or something and took off and left. Left her with nothing. And not even the clothes. All she had was the clothes on her back. She didn't have towels. She didn't have anything. She was living on the streets of Houston. As we don't really care what happens to him, but you're going to call the IRS and you're going to talk to a lady. And she did. She called the IRS. She talked to a lady. And she said, well, I need you to file all of these taxes. And so she began to go back and began to file these, and the penalties were imposed, and she had to pay them all. And so she worked to be able to pay them all. And I don't even know what happened to him. I really don't care. Amen. What happened to him? Amen. Some people just be defined that way. They're jerks, and he was a jerk. Amen. Praise God. Anyways, anybody that'll leave their wife and their kid like that and high and dry and stuff like that, they ain't worth shoe leather. Yeah. Amen. Anyway, back to taxes. That's a better subject. And so here she is paying her taxes so that she doesn't go to jail, because there are penalties for not paying your taxes. I'm not up here in tax season trying to promote the IRS. Amen. I don't want them to have anything that they don't need to have. Praise God. But I am saying that sin is of the same sort. That it's the same burden. It's the same weight. Amen. And you're not going to get away from it without the penalty of sin and the bite of sin. Amen. Stinging you. Amen. It's there, and it's there to stay. Praise God. Amen. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is, amen, eternal life. Praise God. Amen. But the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter number 10, that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. But Jesus said, ever since the beginning, when I stepped down out of the veil of heaven and stepped down and put my feet upon the grounds of this place called earth, I have come to give life. Amen. So know that they may have life more abundantly. Amen. You see, the sting of sin was there. The taxation of sin, because you're not going to get away with sin without paying a price. Everybody that sins, there is a price to be paid. You're not going to get away from it. Amen. You're not going to escape the sting of sin in your life at any time. Bible teaches us that even the things that are done in secret, that they would be shouted from the rooftop. In other words, there'll be times that you think that you can get away with it, that nobody knows. I just got something to tell you today. I want you to know that if you hide from the eyes of everybody upon the face of this earth, if you hide it from me and I never find out about it, if you hide it, amen, from your brothers and your sisters, if you hide it from the church, if you hide it from everybody in the world, you'll never hide it from the eyes of Jesus Christ. He has an all-seeing eye, and there is a wage that comes with sin. You can't get away with sin. I want you to know today, it does not matter whether you consider it to be right or wrong. The Bible defines what sin is, just like the government decides what taxes are. Amen. Jesus said, amen, that it's right to do these things, and it's wrong to do some things. There were 10 commandments, but friend, I'm so thankful that there is a God who robed himself in flesh and came down and dwelt among us so that we would not have to experience the sting of sin like the enemy wants us to experience. Amen, amen. I can just imagine the politicians, amen, that sit in their posh places, counting their money, not paying, amen, and getting away with things that the normal and the average American might not be able to get away with. And thinking to themselves that it's so wonderful living in the political world. Oh, but payday's coming somewhere down the road. Amen, I want you to know it's the same way with sin. Amen. You may feel like you're getting away with everything. Amen. It does not. I want to be very, very clear here this morning. It really does not matter how you feel about it, and it does not matter how I feel about it. Amen. When the government writes the laws, amen, they're not necessarily asking for your opinion. Amen. We have seen how we have voted, and basically our vote has been discarded and done away with. Amen. They really don't care, but they're going to do what they want to do. Amen. That's the same way it is with the Bible. Amen. When it comes to sin, it does not matter whether you consider it to be good or bad. If the Bible says it's sin, then it's sin. If the Bible calls an abomination, it's an abomination. Amen. If the Bible calls it wrong, it's wrong. I don't care what this common world has made it. This world has said that it's okay to shack up and live together, and you can be in common law marriage and everything will be okay. Amen. That's still fornication, and it's a sin, and that sin is going to send you to a devil's hell. Amen. It's wrong, amen, to be with somebody else other than your spouse. That's still called adultery. Amen. It's wrong for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. It's not an alternate lifestyle. Amen. It's homosexuality, and it's wrong. It doesn't matter what they say about all of this. The Bible has been clear in defining what's right and what's wrong. And there's a payday that's coming. There's a payday that's coming. It's called judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I want to be right. I want to be right. And I'm thankful I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's just and able to forgive me of my sins. And he will come, and he will not tarry. He'll forgive me of my sins. He'll wash away my sins. He'll fill me with his precious spirit, and I can be free. Let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1 said, wherefore seeing we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witness, he goes on to say, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. The NIV says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Sin. Tax. Three letters. Sin. Three letters. Weights. Burdens. You're not going to get away from them. You cannot escape the penalty of those taxes, the penalty of sin, without proper authorization. Proper authorization would take that lady looking at the one lady that was in our church and say, look, I'm going to dismiss late fees. I'm going to dismiss, you know, all of these other things and stuff. And you're going to have to pay this penalty, but I'm going to dismiss this. She had the authority to do it. And see, if you don't come to Jesus Christ, and if you don't ask Him to forgive you of all of your sins are going to go with you to Judgment Day. But He possesses the authority to forgive you of your sins. You say, I don't know how to get out from under this weight. I don't know how to get away from all of this burdens. That's what sin does. Sin just keeps compiling and compiling and compiling on you. Why? It's because the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to pile the guilt of sin upon you so heavily that you just say, what's the use? And you just walk away forever. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that you might have life more abundantly. In other words, Jesus said, I'll take all of those sins. I'll wash them all away. One place He made the reference that He would throw them as far as the east is from the west. Separate your sins, never to be remembered again. Thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Why? Because He has the authority to do so. And He came into this world to do just that. To redeem fallen man. To redeem a guilty man. And you may have messed up. You may have done some things that you're not proud of, and you have felt the sting of sin. Just as when you look at that paycheck and say, what happened to this check? You're now looking into your life thinking to yourself, what have I done? And you feel the sting of sin. But oh, thank God that when He rose from the dead, what did He say? O grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? He can take away that sting. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Why? Because He has the authority to wipe the blemish away. To wipe the blemish away. You may be broken by sin, but He has the ability to heal the hurt. Praise God. These altars are open here this morning. Amen. Would you come today? Talk to the Lord. Come talk to Him today. Come on, make your calling and election sure. Well, talk to Jesus. Talk to Him today. Talk to Him today. God, I need You this morning. I need You this morning. I need You this morning. asking you, God, to help me today.
That frees us, holy Jesus. Holy.